and ask you all about the hate crimes legislation and where it sits and why we're concerned about it.
Well, the hate crimes bill is one that we've been battling for many, many years. And while conservatives were in charge, we've been able to get it killed. But now with the Democratic control in such large numbers, we won't be able to get it killed, and President Obama will sign it. What that bill will do is to bring the power of the federal law enforcement apparatus into local crimes in which a violent crime has been committed against someone now based on sexual orientation. And if that person has ever sat in a church, might have heard a sermon dealing with homosexuality, the pastor could be implicated in that crime. And I'll tell you what, one or two of those deals where we have FBI investigating a pastor for what he's preached, that will put a chilling effect across the pulpits of America, at least as far as the preaching about homosexuality goes.
Here's an example of it, Tom. When Dr. Tiller was killed a few weeks ago, I wrote a statement, a press release, that said that we decried the killing of this man. In fact, I wrote that we not only condemned the murder, but I said that the killers should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And I also expressed my concern for Dr. Tiller's family and so on. There was one sentence in my statement that acknowledged the fact that Dr. Tiller had the blood of thousands of babies on his hands. And that short description that represented 5% of my statement is all that was reported in an article published here in Colorado Springs in the Gazette. And the rest of my remarks were ignored. This is the way the media distorts the truth. And it's my concern that the hate crimes legislation, once it becomes law, will be used against ministers, and I am not one, but even here on Focus on the Family, what I say is taken out of context and distorted, and I think that will be used to silence or attempt to silence ministers throughout the country.
Well, Jim, it's actually not even necessary. It's an unnecessary law. The House, when they passed this, they said that this was a national problem. Well, when you look at the FBI's own statistics, you're actually seeing a decrease in hate crimes, only a little over 7,000, and that includes intimidation, not just acts of violence. And more of these are directed at people based on their religious convictions than sexual orientation. It's not necessary. But yet they're going forward with this when they're, and as Tom pointed out, this is a massive power grab of the federal government that will forever change the landscape of America.
Speaking of the homosexual movement, I really wish we had time to get into today the meeting that took place at the White House just a short time ago, where President Obama hosted a group of homosexual activists there at the White House. And he stood there and promised to work to overturn the Defense of Marriage Act, which will greatly weaken the institution of marriage if that is overturned. And he also promised a number of other things, including an effort to end the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in the military, and on it went. We don't have time to talk about all that, but he gave them the moon. And how interesting it is to me that back in the early part of May at the National Day of Prayer throughout the country, the president didn't have time to call on God for wisdom and blessing. He didn't even send a representative to the Cannon House building 3 miles away. And he didn't release a proclamation calling for the National Day of Prayer until 3 o'clock in the afternoon when it was too late to use it. So we get a very clear notion of the president's priorities here, but it does not involve a call for prayer, which is almost unprecedented in the history of this country.
Well, Jim, we are never without prayer. And I think what has happened in this nation in view of what has been taking taking place politically and from a public policy standpoint is Christians are coming to understanding that we must pray. We have to take responsibility. And literally thousands of churches across this nation took 2 Chronicles 7:14 literally, and they got on their knees and they cried out to God on behalf of the church and the nation. And I believe that from that we're going to see things change in those communities and in our nation, because God promises when we come to Him as He prescribes, He will hear our prayers and He will answer them.
Huh. Tom, make your best case for prayer, because that is the only answer.
My favorite day of the entire year is fast getting to be the first Thursday of every May, the National Day of Prayer, when wave after wave of prayer ascends to heaven, crashes against the gates of heaven, and I can imagine the saints that have gone before are holding on to the very handrails so they won't be knocked to the ground. And that prayer movement is swelled. That's the biggest hope we've got. And God has shown, particularly in the Old Testament, that as Proverbs 21 says, He does hold in the palm of His hand the heart of the king. He can squeeze that heart whenever He chooses. And we pray that He will do that now.
Tom Minery, the Senior Vice President of Government and Public Policy, and Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council. When I have a concern on my heart, you're the two guys that I...